We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It is indeed the Get Right with Reggie KG on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Gray, Reginald Adetula.
What up?
My man Joey holding it down for you here on this Monday night here on your home of the Cowboys, the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. DetroitRate.com, text line 877-881-1053 if you want to get in on the conversation. Really appreciate you joining us on Odyssey and the Odyssey app and also on twitch.tv/DallasFanCam. Good to have all of our shows on this Monday. Everyone back in town after their trip to Oxnard, California, as the Cowboys continue their preparations for the 2022 NFL season. And they get ready to take on the Denver Broncos in their first preseason game on Saturday, which, of course, can be heard on 105.3 The Fan. As we look forward to the 2022 NFL season, as we look back once again at the 2021 Dallas Cowboys, and their latest game in your Cowboys rewatch.
Yeah, week 13, the Cowboys went to visit the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, earlier in the show, we were talking about how Jameis Winston tweaked his foot, was the word that we've gotten out of Saints camp.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, if you remember, he actually was injured and out by this point. And so we were treated to the Taysom Hill show, the Taysom Hill experience under Sean Payton, because I don't know, maybe he has pictures of Sean Payton. I don't know what Sean Payton loved about Taysom Hill so damn much. But Taysom Hill was quarterbacking in this game.
I don't either.
Two things to remember. This was Amari Cooper's game back from
COVID. That's right.
And Mike McCarthy was out through the health and safety protocol.
Oh, that's right. Dan Quinn was the coach in this game. That's right.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that I saw anything in particular that made me go, hey, there's a difference. Like, there's a large difference in what's happening here.
And didn't CeeDee Lamb miss this game, too, because of the concussion?
No.
Or he was back?
Yes, yeah, okay. Was back. Okay. CeeDee was definitely back.
Okay.
And there's a few reasons why I knew that. But
okay.
Let's start with one of the particular bad things, because this was a win for your Dallas Cowboys. This was a 27-17 win for your Dallas Cowboys.
A pretty game, if I remember correctly. Not a pretty game at all for this team.
Not really. I mean, they did some things well. It was cool. It wasn't ugly, but it wasn't pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 6-7, maybe. Anyways, I'm sorry. They couldn't run the football. let's get there, right? Like, they just, it was ugly.
Oh, and I also have my notes from this game, too, so looking forward to this.
It's worth noting, mm-hmm. right, in looking back, especially from like an EPA perspective, expected points added, the Saints defense might have been the single best defense last season. Third best passing EPA, single best rushing EPA, right? So, like, this was a team that did those things really well. But, yeah. I don't know if it was particularly just New Orleans that made it so that they couldn't run the football well, because the Cowboys just didn't run the football well in the second half of the season. And this was another portion of that iteration. Some of this that I noticed is that, look, man, even on the broadcast, they were talking about Zeke's knee. At this point, like, it was very evident. We were talking about it openly.
He was dragging it with him.
We were talking about it openly. And this is where I continue to have some hesitations about Pollard being used, because there was a point where Pollard got a two-yard run. And, like, obviously it's a two-yard run. How much can you celebrate? But it was like, that probably should have been a 1 or 2 yard loss that he found the crevice, kind of shook through and picked up a few yards. And I was like, I think that's the difference in Tony Pollard right now. Now, sometimes the next play, you'll find him where he has a gap and then he runs into a pile. That happens at times too. But like, the possibility of him making just a little bit more out of nothing, I think exists there. And that was why I was kind of just shocked at why Pollard didn't get at least a more equal split of the ball last season, with the understanding in the organization that they knew that Zeke was kind of hampered and kind of pushing through. Another thing that I noticed in this game, and it was a little sporadic, so I don't want to make too much of it. There was a lot more like post routes, slants that Dak hit in rhythm where guys were able to catch and continue running. I know that there was one in particular. It was a nice post up the middle for Amari Cooper. There was another one that I believe was a CeeDee Lamb And it was just like, boom, stand in as the New Orleans front is getting pressure. Stand in, deliver, hit those guys in stride where they're catching the ball and going. And it, I mean, like, again, this is a really good Saints secondary. And they were still managing when they did get those plays and connect on them. They were managing. He was managing. Hit them in stride and get them running. And that was something I didn't feel like this team did a lot very well last year, was like hit the guys in stride so that they get the ball and keep going. In fact, there was a screen pass, which is a little different than what I was talking about there with like the slants and the posts. Mm-hmm. There was a screen pass where they throw it out to CD. CD has a blocker in front of him, and he attacks the football so that as he's catching it, he's already moving, gets it, and boom. Now he's up for like a 15-yard gain because like that motion is already there. And that was the stuff that made me feel great, because I'm like, this Cowboys offense is great when it's kinetic, when these guys are getting the ball and moving and they're in space, and then you got these guys in place where they can go and make plays. You got something?
I was saying, one of the plays you were talking about on that third drive for the Cowboys, Amari Cooper went for 41 yards on a 3rd-and-7 that helped lead to a touchdown drive, or lead to a touchdown that Michael Gallup had. I just remember that play because it felt like once a year, Michael Gallup has that levitating type touchdown where he's just floating in the air and he comes down with it.
Gallup jump ball into the first quarter.
Yes.
And that was a well-executed drive all the way across. That was the deep post to Coop, mid-stride, then CD in space. Well done. That was when he attacked the football on that and then finished with that jump ball. It was just a really good play. Now, I see this immediately after that note. This is in the first quarter where I noticed it, and it continued through. I've talked about how Micah Parsons is a linebacker in the first half of the season. Sometimes you could tell that he might not have fully understood what the assignment was, and he was existing off of the supreme athleticism that he has. He was filling gaps really beautifully. Like, it really felt like, okay, that's a guy who's starting to understand how to play this linebacker thing. And then when he's filling gaps beautifully, when he's in the place that needs to be, he was giving Taysom Hill fits. And Taysom Hill was fast, and Micah Parsons was out there chasing him down at times. Like, once we got into the second half, Micah Parsons was putting that man. Like, Micah is so fast. Actual note, verbatim, Micah is so fast, him unencumbered is unfair. Like, he got one rush off the edge where nobody had him, and Taysom Hill looked, and like, it looked like he was gonna try something. He's like, let me just take this sack, it's not worth it. Hey, Tank's back, and Tank made himself evident. There's a couple of guys where I just say hello, hey, I see you. Tank is one of them. J-Ron Curse is the other, because this is the game where you had the J-Ron Curse crazy interception on the sideline. So with all those being the case, a dude I want to shout out here is Dalton Schultz made some plays where it was like strong hands against contested against defensive backs that aren't just like sit down routes, like ones where you have to actively make a catch. And I'm like, look, man, I need to put a little bit more respect on Dalton Schultz. There was a point, I think last season or in the offseason, where I said, Dalton Schultz, I like him, but I don't know if he's anything special. And I'm still not certain that he's like special to the point where we're talking about at the elite level of tight ends, but he's showing me, I'm seeing things as I look a little bit closer where I'm like, all right, this is something.
I think he's going to put up some special numbers this year too.
Yeah.
Get ready for that.
I guess outside of that, the only other thing, two things I have to say. One, please, I never want to watch Taysom Hill play football. I'm so tired of having to watch Taysom Hill play football.
He's so bad at football.
I don't like it. The first half he did all right, but that was all right. And then after that, it fell apart. I'm just like, stop. Stop making me do this. I guess Sean Payton isn't there, so maybe you don't have a sponsor. And secondly, there was a really interesting toss play that I know the Cowboys ran at least twice. I noticed twice, which was you were going to the left, so left side of your line, you know. Tyron and Tyler Biadasz both pull. So those guys get out. It's a toss to Tony Pollard. Those guys are running up the field with momentum, like physical momentum. Actual physical momentum.
The
real iteration of that word, real physical momentum, where you've got big dudes run up the field and they're going to go hit somebody. And then in their place, the guys that are rushing into that gap, you have like Malik Turner and Dalton Schultz, guys that maybe you don't expect to actually lock up with guys. They just kind of guide those other guys back past it. And I'm like, this is a well-drawn-up play where you focus on the strengths that you have and you kind of minimize the weaknesses. And then you got it to Tony Pollard. He gets out in space, and that's really nice. In fact, I think he scored on that one, if I'm correct. No. But like, yes, yeah, same toss play, picked up five. Like, there was another one instance where I can't find the actual note that I wrote here. But like, man, get them going in space. It's like, hey, man, like this works so much different. Yeah, it did go for a touchdown. A wild, effective toss for a touchdown. That's the type of stuff that I want to see, and I want to see it built on. So, like, that's the tough thing is you see those plays, and you're like, okay, Kellen Moore can do this offense thing. I just want it to all fit together. And I think if that comes together, that could be really good for this Cowboys.
Yeah, going to the third quarter, I think this is what the drive that you're talking about, the third drive for the Cowboys in that third quarter. You got CeeDee Lamb goes for 13 yards on second and 10. Then Tony Pollard on in the note that I have here, what should have been a 5-yard loss, he turns it into a 58-yard touchdown on second and 10 from their own 42-yard line.
Is that the toss?
I believe so.
And where you say it should have been a 5-yard loss, I'm not going to like, I get where you're coming from. I think in that instance, that's where I'm looking at. I see Malik Turner and Dalton Schultz both have a hand on those guys that you would think are going to get them. And of course, Tony Pollard makes a do miss. Mm-hmm. But those guys are being guided to a place where it's like, you're not going to easily get a line at this dude on the toss play. We're guiding you back into the backfield where we know you're going to get past the play. And then, boom, we're behind you.
But this is just another example of why the frustration with this offense has been the way that it has been when it comes to Tony Pollard, because you see the explosiveness and the juice that he has anytime he touches the football. Why would you not use this player in different ways, whether it be, you know, on tosses and being able to put him out in the flat, you know, to catch passes, be able to get him involved in a multitude of ways, because he could provide that additional explosiveness within this offense. And that was just another play and example of what he can do when he's in the open field with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I'd love to see that balance out a little bit. That's my thing. One thing also that I was going back and looking at other like media to help me refresh some of my thoughts. And I was like, oh yeah, they were really bad on third down. And that's another issue that this team had. Like, those were the issues. They couldn't run, bad on third down. And these are the things, right? You look at the game and you're like, hey, pretty solid game. You win by 10 points. And it wasn't a 10 points that, like, it was 27-10 late in the game. So it was like you had the game pretty well in tow before Deontay Harris, who is just fast as all get out. But, like, it wasn't pretty. Like, the style points is kind of what gets you to those places in the postseason, being able to like do it in a particular way, have a style of play that you're consistent in. That was the stuff that was frustrating in this game, where you saw they got a win, but you could also see that it wasn't up to the standard that they should be. It wasn't maximizing of their potential. It was just a win over a team that they probably were better than.
And if I remember right, that was kind of one of those games though, where first of all, New Orleans is a very difficult place to play. It's always been a very difficult place to play. And to get a win there is always impressive. And in this particular case, while it wasn't necessarily the most clean game that the Cowboys could have played, they were effective enough in the things that we had seen from them during the second half of the year that gave us indications that they could win games in a variety of ways. In this game, they had, I believe, 4 takeaways, including a Carlos Watkins pick 6 in this game. Trayvon Diggs had his 9th interception of the season in his game, which at that point was the 3rd takeaway of the night. Like, they were doing a lot of the things that we had seen from them throughout the second half of the year that felt like, oh, when this offense is clicking, now they've got a defense that can actually come along with them as well. And this was a game where it felt like the defense had to do what they had to do in order to carry that team that night, which I think gave us, oh, maybe they can have a deep run in the playoffs, because now there's balance on both offense and defensive playing, that complementary football that Mike McCarthy's always talking about.
That's a good point, because I spent a lot of this talking about the offense. I guess I just started, as I'm watching it, I'm just getting to a place where I feel more comfortable about this defense. Jay Lou had a tip at the line. AB, hey, another good game. Like, great coverage by AB.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, J-Ron, right? J-Ron just, like, flashing in a big way. Okay. This is one of the things that I guess I probably shouldn't just decide to be negative here at the end. Chauncey Golston, and I know this was his rookie season, and I know that supposedly he's been on that peanut butter diet, you know, getting a little beefier, so maybe that helps. Because I know early on in the season they had him outside, they moved him inside at this point, and maybe he just needed to be beefier. I'm not enthused by 2021 Chauncey. Maybe Chauncey Golston in 2022, maybe it's different. 2021? Yeah, I wasn't fond of that.
You weren't necessarily impressed
by
that. Hey, but that was a very interesting, because I think the last note on that was, while the numbers, when you look at them defensively in that game, They had four interceptions, two sacks, and six tackles for loss. Micah Parsons had a sack in that game as well. People are like, well, look.
That one was right off the edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are like, well, it was Taysom Hill, which is what you expect.
But Taysom Hill's fast. Like, Taysom Hill probably should have been sacked two or three times, but yes. Taysom Hill outran a couple of situations to go get himself some yards. Like, that was actually a really great play by Micah Parsons, making it so that the elusive dude was not able to evade what was just a missile coming at him wearing number 11.
But they got the win, and they did what they had to do that particular night.
Yeah, but this is definitely where I'm seeing that trend set in of, hey, this is a team that is good but is not playing up to that good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm going to try and watch a few more, maybe double up next show, and I feel like
that trend is going to— I think you're going to make it.
Yeah, if I double up. Yeah, I might have to double up to get us there before season.
Coming up next on the Get Right with Reggie KG right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to go inside the gray area. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson broke up, and Kanye had words to say about it.
Oh, no.
Next on 105 Through the Fan.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to help you out on the truckroad.com text on 877-81-1053 because I see you, 681.
Oh, okay.
Hey, get right. How are you guys doing tonight? Well, we're doing well. Appreciate that. How do you guys feel about trying to pick up Antonio Brown? What?
Put that bleep on.
What? No. But apparently, Reg likes the new dance craze.
Put that bleep on.
Please mark that and find a way to get that.
I can't say it.
Yeah, you can't. Exactly.
Because we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, a lot of trouble.
I don't know. A lot. I still am upset that word is FCC. We can't do that one. But like, I can say crap on there. I don't like that. That feels unfair. Like, that feels like two sides of the same coin. Does it not, Joey? Do you feel that?
Here's the thing.
Absolutely.
Like, it feels like my preferred version of that word is off limits, but other people's preferred version of that word is cool. I don't like that.
There's a few words that you would think that wouldn't be allowed that are compared to that one. But, you know,
it's not fair.
Not our choice.
No. Here's the thing about AB, though. He don't want to play football no more.
You sure?
He don't look like it.
For like 3 weeks. For like 3 weeks. Because that's what you need it for, is like 3 weeks.
Does he look like a man who wants to play football right now?
Does he ever look like a man who wants to play? Remember, he got that Lego haircut in his head? What you mean, does he look like a man who wants to play football? Will he show up? Which I guess is also not a guarantee. But
he did like a whole build of Lego, didn't he? On the top of that head of his.
But he showed up. He put that Lego head in a football helmet, and he went and caught a whole bunch of footballs, man. So, hey.
And then proceeded to act like a fool and a nut in his last game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Jets. And there's that.
Who going to talk to him?
That's, again...
Because last time...
McCarthy coached for his job. You think he got time for Antonio Brown?
Last time, Tom Brady was talking to him. And I think Tom Brady just blinded him with, like, Super Bowl rings. Like, look over here. Hey, look at all these rings.
Shiny toys over here.
Yeah, that feels really... my bad. But no, I don't know that there's anybody here that... I don't know. Maybe. Maybe there's somebody that AB respects to the point where, like, you keep it together for him. I'm like, look. If you can make it good for like 3 weeks, and then if he breaks bad, you cut him.
I'd save you the headache and not sign him at all. 817, AB wants to be a celebrity now. Well, he wants to be a different type of celebrity. A musical celebrity, I guess.
Well, yeah, but this is the thing. This is the, I ain't want her anyways. Like, football basically was like, y'all, we done with you. He was like, I ain't with y'all anyways. I wanted to make this music.
Let me go over here and make this music. But yeah, I think the NFL is good on Antonio Brown at the moment.
But he can still play. That's the tough
part.
Can he? Yes. Did you not see him last year?
I mean, did you see him last year?
Yes.
He was just walking off the exactly, Joe. Exactly.
But the reason exactly. why the reason why that was important is because they wanted him to get back again because they wanted him to play.
I'm not taking the chance on him.
No, I absolutely get that. Like,
not
I,
now.
I as
I'd sign Odell before I signed Antonio Brown.
What's the point in signing Odell?
That's my point. Like, I would rather have
AB would play. You just have to wait until the nonsense breaks and hope that it takes a little bit longer. That's all. Like, this is the thing. You know, it's just a ticking time bomb. And maybe that's, you know, an indelicate way of saying that. But, like, you know that it's going to break bad at some point. You just got to hope that you get what you can get.
Get what you can before it all goes to hell.
There you go, right? Like, that's all it is. That's all it is.
From the 204. If I'm Coach Mike and my job's on the fence, why not go all out? I don't know if that's the way you want to go out. Because you and Antonio would be on the streets if that thing went south. So...
Well, can Jerry talk to him? Because Jerry seemed like a dude that could talk to them folks. Like, you know, like the folks that are just like a little out there. For some reason, I think Jerry finds some level of kinship with those folks. I don't
Jerry
know why.
Jerry is good for a circus. He not good for the whole damn show. Like, come on, man. Like, that's the whole freaking show.
I'm trying. Why are you not trying with me?
Because I can't believe I'm the sensible one.
I'm trying.
Like, you're the one caping for Antonio Brown. I got to be the sensible one here. Right? Can't believe how the tables are turning around here. Because normally I'd be the one. Get Jamal Adams or, you know, Earl Thomas.
We got to spice it up every once in a while.
And now here you come.
Yeah, 8-1-7, the Cowboys brought in T.O. Like,
but
T.O.
was actually
thing.
Good yeah, still at the time.
What are you talking about? Anthony Brown can still play, dog.
Okay.
He just has a lot of guff that you got to put up with.
Okay.
Speaking of people that got a lot of guff you got to put up with.
Yeah, Kanye West, as we go inside the gray area right here on 105.3 The Fan. Oh, look at you know it's music to play.
He's on it.
You know what you're doing back there.
He
good
put
for
that
you.
Bleep on.
No, I hope. I can't wait to clip that in.
I don't even think I'm good at it. I'm not doing the dance right. I'm pretty sure. Like, I think I've reached the age where, like, doing the dance for the youths is out of me.
Y'all doing a whole lot on this truckrate.com text line, 877-81-105-53. I'm not reading that one from 940 because you're doing a lot. You're doing a lot.
I mean, he don't got to teach him nothing.
I'm talking about the next part.
No, I'm saying. He ain't got to teach him nothing. He's got to make sure that he can get through what are we anticipating Gallup is out for? 3-4 weeks? Yeah, man, just keep him straight for a month, dog.
I guess.
Even so. Better if you keep him straight for a whole year. That'd be great. This wide receiving core isn't as good as I want it to be, and then when I bring you solutions,
I mean, it's bad.
I bring you solutions, and now you don't want them.
That's not the solution that I think we're looking for in 2022. There's some other dudes that are viable that got the head on straight.
Like who?
Will Fuller.
Okay.
T.Y. Hilton.
All right. Hey, look, that's just a different ticket.
Sensible
timeline.
Names.
All right. Well,
hey, Joe, there you go.
Look,
hey.
I love Eugene Hilton. I really do.
I love how you say his government name.
That man is laundered. And then.
Wait, what?
He's laundered. He's been fully washed. Oh, okay. And
so what kind of laundering are you talking about?
Will Fuller is.
It's a viable option.
It's a different ticking time bomb. It's just a different one. So which one do you want?
Now, hold on, 214. Scared money don't make money. Now, no, Antonio Brown's crazy money. I'm not trying to spend crazy money. Like, that's not the kind of crazy time I'm looking for. Not at all. Yeah, you stay on that Antonio
Somebody
Brown.
Somebody doesn't like having fun.
I just can't believe you were the one that actually came up with that.
He's good at football, dog.
Okay. Well, Kanye West used to be good at music.
He's problematic. Well, both of them, actually.
Very.
Yeah.
Did you see him taking shots at Pete Davidson after
yes.
him and Kim?
Everything
Kim
I've,
K broke up.
Everything I've learned about Kanye West over the last few months has been against my will.
Yeah, he got out there on the Instagram and was like, "Skeet Davidson dead at age 28."
It's not. Why is he trying so hard to make that happen?
Like what?
Like he's trying so hard to make that Skeet Davidson work. And it's just not, it just doesn't. It's just a joke for him that he thinks other people are going to laugh at. And it's not funny.
It's not funny. But here's the thing. You know the two of them still aren't officially divorced yet? Yeah. They're still not officially divorced yet.
They're separated. Eh? It'd be like that sometimes.
Of course, Kim K and Pete Davidson breaking up after 8 months of dating, and news everyone could have seen coming at some point. That's why I was not surprised when I saw it. But then, of course, I shouldn't have been surprised when Kanye got out here on the Instagram and was like, hey, you know, let me comment on this relationship. As if he wouldn't start dating a Kim Kardashian starter kid himself recently.
Who? Oh, wait, who are you talking, Julia Fox or whatever?
Kanye West's girlfriend, whomever it was, looked exactly like Kim Kardashian.
I'm guessing you were talking about Julia Fox, but I don't know.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, the funny thing, as I'm just going to lean entirely into this,
why not?
Into this, Hollywood gossip stuff, is that, like, the supposed
big news, Rez.
Kim Kardashian, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson split happened because, like, Pete wanted to be spontaneous and just, like, go places, and Kim's like, I got kids, which I feel like we should have been able to tell this one from the start. But, look, sometimes you just got to go through it. Like, sometimes you just got to, you know, sign AB, and then sometimes you just got to sign Antonio Brown, and then when it goes wild, you just got to be like, yo, we tried. We had the fun, and it didn't work out. And it'd be like this sometimes. So, you know, sometimes you got to do that.
You really just leaned into this Antonio Brown thing.
I mean, I figured I could do this for 15 minutes and just have fun with it.
Okay.
It's not for real.
Oh, now it's not for real?
Okay, so you know Stephen Jones, right? Looking at me for
214. Kanye even makes Kyrie say that dude is crazy. You might have a point. Gentlemen, the headline goes like this. Klondike gives Choco Taco fans a glimmer of hope after discontinuing the beloved treat. Were you two Choco Taco fans?
No.
I have no clue what that is.
Oh, really? So the Choco Taco is basically like a waffle cone for the taco shell.
Okay.
And then ice cream in the middle.
Oh, okay.
And then like chocolate around the edge.
Sounds good in theory.
No, yes. Not for me. I don't like biting ice cream. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have sensitive teeth, but I just don't love the sensation. Oh, so maybe I do have sensitive. I don't know.
Truckbreak.com text line 877-81-105. Do you like to bite into your ice cream? Because I do like to have like an ice cream cookie sandwich.
Okay.
I'm a big like fudge bar guy, so yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Fudge bars, ice cream sandwiches. Dilly bars, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. No, you're not a Dilly bar fan?
No,
okay.
I didn't even know a Dilly bar was a thing until just now.
What?
I'm still not sure it's an actual thing. I'm going to have to
do you've never been to Dairy Queen?
Not that much,
you call
actually.
Yourself a Texan and you've never been to Dairy Queen?
I didn't realize that the applications were in the Dairy Queen. My bad, dog.
Oh, who am I working with? I'm not even from the state of Texas and I know that's a thing.
Dairy Queen, all right.
Okay.
I don't really be going to Dairy Queen like that. Sue me. Wait, what are you doing right now?
I just cannot believe that as someone who is a native Texan.
You lived in
Texas
your whole life? Didn't have Dairy Queen. Doesn't count.
Never said it didn't count. I just can't believe as a native Texan, you have not been to Dairy Queen. The beloved dessert, Choco Taco, which Reginald Atatula accurately described, features vanilla ice cream housing a waffle cone that served as a shell and was covered in chocolate and a sprinkle of peanuts.
Oh, yeah. It's like a drumstick. Which I like the drumsticks, but then I still don't bite into the like.
I'm not saying you bite into that.
No. I'm letting you know. Like, why'd you get so aggressive?
I'm confused.
I was just likening it to another ice cream that I actually tend to have. Anyways, I'll let you continue. It's your gray area. My bad.
No, I want to know more about the fact that you like to actually bite into that ice cream.
No, I don't bite into it. That's what I was saying.
Oh, so what do you do?
I just kind of like crack the shell on top. I'll eat a chocolate and then I'll just eat it like a normal ice cream cone.
Oh, I'll just eat the ice cream inside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. From the 940, it's dangerous biting. You got to make sure the bite passes the teeth so it doesn't tingle. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have read none of that. That felt like a setup. I don't know exactly if it is a setup. That might have been entirely earnest 940. I don't like the way you structured
the
that.
The wording
sentence.
Was a little, interesting.
From the 214, there's probably the same people that eat Kit Kat without separating them. What are y'all doing?
That's serial killer
the folks
behavior.
That bite across the perforations. The perforations is there, dog. Just got to split it. You know what I mean? You've seen the commercials.
Also, I've been duped. Dairy Queen was founded in Minnesota despite great marketing, not a Texas thing. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, so you knew that, Joey? You're going to just let me just stop down and not?
Yeah, but like DQ's kind of. I feel like Texas have taken control of it because of the jingle. That's what I like about Texas DQ. But I mean,
now
yeah,
I'm genuinely
it's headquarters
confused.
Up in Minnesota.
And let me apologize to you, Reggie.
I'm not accepting that apology. You can't. You went real strong on that. Mm-hmm. You was dancing all over.
I was trying to be the bigger man and apologize.
You was doing the Harlem Shake and everything, and then you found out. Oh, I was being wild right quick.
Well, we're gonna,
now you want to take it back?
No, I'm trying to be the bigger man here and apologize to you, but clearly you're being the smaller man and not accepting my apology.
That's fine. I'm small. It's all good.
Now, wait a minute. Now, the 214 is not right either. Dairy Queen, this is why you have to do your Googles. Dairy Queen was found.
That's a PSA from the Get Right with Reg and KG. Do your Googles.
Do your Googles. Mm-hmm. Was founded June 22nd, 1940 in Joliet, Illinois.
Well, that's still not Texas.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, but it's not Minnesota either.
Yeah, Minnesota, Illinois, Rhode Island. What's the difference?
What?
Thank you for catching the joke, KG. Fantastic.
Wow. What?
Jeez. Yes. What is it? I just lost it. Is it?
He knows what Whataburger is.
214. Yes, I've been to Sonic plenty. Happy hour. Before, after school. I've done plenty of that. Let's see. And then, yes, I go to Whataburger. I went to Whataburger today.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you get at Whataburger today?
Spicy bacon. Or what is it? The sweet and spicy bacon burger.
You said that rattled off the tongue real smooth.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
Oh, that's okay.
It's either that or it's a patty melt. And I've taken to like the peppercorn chicken ranch club thing.
Wow.
Yeah, that thing. Wow. That's solid.
For the 9%, I don't even eat at Dairy Queen, but that felt like a weird heart punch as a Texan.
What, the fact that I don't really be out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. We're some Choco Taco or something like that. I don't know.
It's your segment. What you mean?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, this just Choco Taco was discontinued, and apparently Klondike was trying to bring y'all some level of facsimile. Is that what the story was?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I lost.
Is the Klondike bar, does that have like mint in it?
Because I don't believe so.
I always remember like the commercials for the Klondike bar, and I ain't never had one, not once.
Oh, they issued a statement. We know Choco Taco is a huge fan favorite.
Oh,
and a
did
top
they
seller.
Own it? Did they own it?
Klondike.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, my bad.
We're working hard to find a way to bring Choco Taco back to ice cream trucks in the coming years. Because apparently people were very upset about this. Yes, serendipity. Yes. Thanks, 214. That was your disastrous version of the gray area right here on the
nice.
Get Right.
That was good.
Of course it was for you because you got to get your Antonio Brown take.
You know. I put that bleep on.
Coming up next, hopefully on the Get Right with Reggie KG. Where are we going, Reg, with this next conversation?
Where are we going with it? Oh, wow. Yeah, no.
Just
there was,
go to break. You know
no, 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 no. There was a resigning in the Oklahoma organization, the Oklahoma program. Let's talk about that. And let's find out which schools are the position you for each position in college football.
Hopefully.
We'll talk about it next on 105 Through the Fan.
You know you're an adult when you talk to your wife on the phone and she turns the camera around as you're FaceTiming her and she shows you toothpaste on your daughter's bathroom wall. And you have no idea how it got there.
What?
Yeah, that's the conversation I just had with my wife on the phone in the break. She's like, hey, Kevin, look at this. I was like, what's the matter? She said, look at this on the wall. I was like, well, what is it? She's like, it's toothpaste
mm-hmm.
on the mirror, on the wall, on the floor, on the counter.
Dang.
I'm like, what is going on
here?
Is
she playing with the toothpaste?
That's what she's like. Is she playing with the toothpaste? I was like, I have no idea.
Y'all going to have a conversation about what was happening there.
Can we extend the show another 2 hours?
Hey, little girl. Wait, what?
Just joking. It's the Get Right with Reggie KG right here on 105 Through the Fan. Kevin Gray, disgruntled parent. Reginald Adetula.
No, that just sounds like parent. That sounds like just the normal nonsense that happens when you're a parent. Because your daughter is how old? Five?
Yeah, she's five.
Yeah, no, that's five-year-old stuff. Yeah. That's you right in the pocket.
Doing too much. Reginald Adetula, my man Joey Holden down here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station. Appreciate you joining us here on Odyssey and the Odyssey app.
We got some stuff on the truckwreck.com text line. I have had a blizzard. Somebody said they just had a Choco Taco Saturday uh-huh. in Galveston off an ice cream truck, so they might have had the last one. I don't know how that works. And KG, this was directed to you from the 214. KG, will you bring in AB if he made Reg eat a DQ? I think we might have a trade-off there.
It's not that serious.
It's not?
No, it's not that serious. I just couldn't believe as someone who's
no, I'm just, look, born I was trying to see if we could get a deal worked out, you know?
Mm-mm. Nope. Not going to happen.
I tried. I did.
Not going
to
happen.
I tried to get you a wide receiver. KG is good with the wide receiving core as it remains.
That is not.
That's what I heard. Isn't that what you anything heard, Joey? True. Is that what
look,
you heard?
I'm not Bobby Bell. You're not going to get me, okay? Anyway. Little college football talk here on the Get Right with Reggie KG on 105 through the Fan. The preseason USA Top 25 coaches poll is out. Your top five teams in all the land. Why do we continue to do this every single year?
Content.
Notre Dame at number five, as if they will finish anywhere near the top 10 or five or one by
Marcus
the time we get the
Freeman
season.
Freeman been putting in that work recruiting.
Actually, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I guess there's a reason for me to root for Notre Dame now and give a damn about him, I guess.
So you was just about to go jump off the top.
I still don't think they'll finish the top 10.
All it took was me saying Marcus Freeman. He was like, you know what?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what?
Pretty much. You can take it there for what it is. Notre Dame, Clemson number four, Georgia number three, Ohio State, the Ohio State University at number two, and Alabama is your number one ranked team in the country, rounding out the top 10. Michigan at number six, Troy Hughes's Texas A&M Aggies at number seven, Utah.
Yeah, Utah is actually really good, returning, starting a quarterback. It's a solid team. It's not one that you would think about, especially if you're not like a college football sicko, but no, they put together a nice little program there.
Number eight, OU, Oklahoma at number nine. And rounding out your top 10, Dave Aranda's Baylor Bears.
Yeah, Baylor. Look, man, Dave Aranda, 10. One, could coach defense. He yes. really coach him up. And he's just been really sincere with the way that he's gone about that program. I've really enjoyed the way that he's built that program. And he's kind of prioritized making sure that you have the right people that like can endear themselves to the state of Texas, which is necessary. But yeah, no, they've done a really good job there. The one that I was going to talk about is Clemson is one of them overrated ones. I know I've seen a lot of the overrated, underrated on the top 25 on the coaches poll because again, this is all
boy
about content.
There?
Who?
DJ
Uiagalelei. Yeah, yeah, Dabo is still talking about him like he's going to be his starter, which to me sounds like he's going to be his starter for about three or four games. Like I don't feel sold on DJ, unfortunately. Like. He has the arm talent, but just seeing him for an extended period of time, I just don't know if he has that. So, yeah, I think that – and outside of just, like, kind of this amorphous criticism of the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Brent Venables is now the head coach at Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
and he was the mainstay defensive coordinator at Clemson for a while, and that was one of the big reasons why that thing was sustainable. Also, I believe – yes, USC is ranked 903. But
number
15. Also, I believe, and they might be a little underrated, honestly. The offensive coordinator, I forget who the Clemson's offensive coordinator was prior, but he's also left. Like
Tony Elliott, I believe.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So those two mainstays mm-hmm. have left for Dabo Swinney, and Dabo Swinney is not a X's and O's on the field head coach. He is a executive that builds. So it's going to be real interesting to see his quality when it comes to building a staff, right? It's going to be like, look, man, yes, you had the godfather of Brent Venables who is going to build a defense and going to, I mean, he made Clemson into a defensive, like, stronghold.
National power, man.
Right? And now he's not there. Now Tony Elliott's not there offensively. What can be done? Who are you bringing in or what are you establishing outside of those guys to continue Clemson's legacy and continue that power that they have? Because the geography is still good. You're still not very far from Atlanta. You can still recruit that well. But you know, the actual coaching and the X's and O's. I'm interested to see how that comes along.
And Texas rounds comes in at number 18 for people who are wondering. The Longhorns coming in at number 18.
Which, look.
All right,
I'm not,
Sark.
I'm not here to poo-poo, right. But, like, Quinn Ewers ain't throwing a pass in the NCAA in college yet. That offensive line might start a couple freshmen. And, look.
Just on the countdown to Arch get there?
Well, I mean, look, Quinn was.
I know Quinn Ewers. Yeah. I know it's big time. So, yes, I know. I'm just saying.
You just need to get some. You need to get some actual play style, play under his belt, right? Like, he still needs that experience of
sure.
playing. And there's going to be an expectation that you come in and start slanging it immediately and be like a level of solid immediately, be able to run that offense well. So, hey, we'll see. Again, coaches poll don't really mean nothing, just for the content. Now, what was I don't know if it's content, but it was something that popped off today. Cale Gundy, longtime assistant at Oklahoma, just up and on Twitter announced his resignation from the program. He wrote a whole long article. He wrote a whole long apology, or what I would call it, resignation letter they put on Twitter, and I'm not reading all that because y'all don't want to hear all that. But ultimately, it came down to what he said was, and I'll read this verbatim. I owe it to Sooner Nation to be transparent about what led to this decision. Last week during a film session, I instructed my players to take notes. I noticed the player was distracted and picked up his iPad and read aloud the words that were written on his screen. The words displayed had nothing to do with football. One particular word that I should never, under any circumstance, have uttered was displayed on that screen. In the moment, I did not even realize what I was reading, and soon as I did, I was horrified. We've come to understand that this was a word that was, quote, what are the words that they use? Racially charged
word.
Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is that in another statement that was put out by Brent Venables, the new head coach of Oklahoma, a little bit of synergy, is as painful as it is to deal with Coach Gundy resigning from the program, it doesn't touch the experience of pain felt by a room full of young men. I am charged to protect, lead, and love. There's a few things I would like to address, and this is where it gets interesting. Coach Gundy resigned from the program because he knows what he did wrong. He chose to read aloud to his players not once but multiple times a racially charged word that is objectionable to everyone and does not reflect the attitude and values of our university or football program. This is not acceptable, period. Coach Gundy did a lot of, we're going to keep going there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did find that interesting. And like, what caught me here was that we got to a place where Gundy did this thing and then put up his hand and was like, oh, yeah, my bad. That was me. I'm out. Because typically we kind of get like rumblings of this. We get reports.
Yeah,
and it's like,
this
kind of
just happened like really quickly.
Yeah, which makes me feel, and I think Spencer Hall tweeted this, and I think
Spencer Hall
is like one of the best football people. But yes. He's like, look, man, he immediately ejected himself. He was like, the alternative is let's have a public inquiry to exactly how I used a slur in a team meeting. And yeah, no, that's not what you want.
No.
So I wonder how much this is like OU being singularly focused on winning as they honestly are as a program, being like, look, man, you're not going to make this recruiting any easier stuff like that. So
that's the heart of the matter is you can't have this stuff kind of happen and be like, hey, let's keep going on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
Make this thing happen.
Like that's the type of stuff that could be negative recruiting from mm-hmm. other programs. Ultimately, as much as I would like to talk, we could talk about morals or whatever. What determines of whether or not you could keep your job a lot of times is how effective can you be doing your job after this thing. And it seems like the calculus was very clear, not effective enough that a longtime OU assistant is no longer with the program. So there's a lot that could be said about that, but ultimately that's what happened. And I think we want to get to position you.
Okay, I like this.
So when you think of like the idea, DBU is the one that I always think of, not Dallas Baptist, shout out to y'all, but like defensive back university, what is the university that comes to mind for you? You guys have one that comes to mind?
LSU seems to be pretty
good. LSU really leans into that, right? Yeah. So there's certain places that we feel like really produce talent, you know, at certain places. ESPN actually went ahead and looked at this and looked for which schools actually produce the most talent at each position.
Okay.
Right? I was like, this is really interesting,
okay.
Right? So stats and information had a method to the madness, and they're only going back to 1998, which is the start of the BCS era.
Oh.
But with that being the case, let's start with QBU, right? Quarterbacks. Since 1998, what do you think is quarterback you when it comes to like developing talent, particularly talent? I think that this is skewed towards making it to the NFL as well. So like placing people in the NFL, that type of level. What would you think is quarterback you for college football? You have
I would
guess?
Go for like Oklahoma over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
All right. You got Oklahoma. What you got, KG?
USC.
1-2. Oklahoma is QBU according to this this metric. USC would be second.
And I'm looking at two of them right there.
There you go.
Baker Mayfield,
Sam Darnold, right? So, but look, results may vary at the higher level. But
right.
Oklahoma, USC, Oregon, because, I mean, I guess we got Herbert, we got Mariota. I'm trying to think if there was another one that comes to mind. Is that night? Was that before? Yeah, it had to be before 98, which is Joey
Harrington. Harrington.
You know, there's some folks, right? Alabama is four.
Which is wild to think about.
And then Louisville is five. So you got those are your top five when it comes to QBU. All right, let's move on to running back. You RBU. What comes to mind when we think the place that produces running backs?
And you said we're going to 98.
Yeah, back to 98.
Texas?
All right, good guess.
Yeah, Texas or maybe like Florida State.
Wow, now that y'all hit the top five. God, come on, running backs. Y'all, Alabama's up there at number one.
Oh, Alabama will be Miami? RBU.
Miami's four.
Okay.
Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bro. The use them up all-stars, right? Like, Wisconsin. Yeah. LSU puts out a good amount of running backs, and then Oklahoma comes in at fifth. So Miami will be fourth. So there you go. Those are your running back looks. I could get, I mean, there's Best Buy Conference as well, but we want to talk about the top five. Wide receiver U.
Oh.
What comes to mind?
I would put Ohio State, maybe.
Okay.
USC comes to mind.
USC, wide receiver U.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
They had so many busts, though.
Mm-hmm. And that's the tough part, right? Like,
oh, man. Remember when Mike Williams was the next coming?
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Williams was so good in college.
So USC, LSU continues as number two. Alabama, because, Oklahoma and Ohio State. Obviously, you notice.
Oh, man. LSU between, especially recently, Justin Jefferson, Odell, Jarvis Landry.
Jamar Chase.
Yeah. I was missing a big one.
I only forgot a rookie of the year. Yeah. Wow. Interestingly, George is not there. Tight end, which is interesting because it wasn't who my initial guess was.
I feel like Notre Dame's always had a couple of guys over the past 5 years that go pretty high in the draft.
So right? You think Midwest type? Yeah. Okay. What are you thinking, KG?
I'm going to go Arizona.
Hmm. Neither of those are on the top five.
Wow.
And funny enough, tight end U, number one, Miami.
Wow.
Oddly enough. Number two.
Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah, there you go. Shockey, David Njoku.
Oh, gosh. Kellen Winslow. Jeez.
Greg Olsen, Kellen Winslow, Bubba Franks. Like, whew.
Oh, Bubba Franks. That's a good name.
Florida is a good guess there. Florida's fourth. I thought Iowa. Iowa is tight end U in my brain. Like, that's all they do is produce tight ends. Stanford. Stanford also, as we were talking about, Dalton Schultz, baby. And then KG, come on, dog. Stand up for your Missouri Tigers, dog. Number five, tight end you.
Chase Kaufman. Yeah, we've had some good tight ends.
All right, let's get through some of this quickly.
Okay.
Offensive line university. Real quick.
Wisconsin.
Oklahoma.
Wisconsin's a good one. Oklahoma's four. Alabama is offensive line university. Okay. Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan also getting some nods here. Defensive lineman?
Georgia.
Alabama.
Surprisingly, Georgia not on here. Alabama is the name.
Yeah.
Alabama's got a ton of them. Then Florida State, interestingly enough, I feel like edge rushers really. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, Penn State, Clemson. Clemson we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker U?
Penn State.
Penn State's up there.
Texas.
Texas isn't. Georgia. Georgia comes in.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State. And then DBU.
LSU.
Funny enough, not LSU. You got one?
Man.
Ohio
Alabama?
State?
I mean.
Ohio State.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, they've had some good ones.
And if you care about kicker, you, it's Florida State.
We could use one. Coming up next on the Get Right with Reg and KG. That was fun, by the way. That was great.
Thank you.
Random thoughts for Reg and KG. DeJounte Murray, Paolo Banchero.
They beefing, y'all.
The beef that just heated up today. We'll get into that next. I want to fight through the fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.